Well, it's good to be back. Let's turn in our Bibles, shall we? To Matthew chapter 2. For Christmas, a woman remarked to her friend, "I was visited by a jolly bearded fellow with a big bag over his shoulder. My son came home from college with his laundry." A little boy, excited about his part in the Christmas play, came home and said, "I got a part in the Christmas play." "What part?" asked his mother. "I'm one of the wise guys," was the reply. Well, we're going to read about these wise men tonight. Matthew chapter 2, starting to read at verse 1. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor or ruler that shall rule or shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Let's bow, shall we, again in a word of prayer. Father, we do pray that as we look at this portion of your word, that you would teach us what we should know tonight. Show us the great things that you have in it for us, and help us to apply it to our lives, that Christ might be glorified. For we ask it in our Savior's name and for his glory alone. Amen. As we look at this portion, we have a tremendous lesson on worship. And I want to look at this and find the worship of the wise men. We see, first of all, worship essentially defined. Worship suggests worship to the triune God. Worship is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 22. And in verse 5 we read, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again." Now it's interesting as he says that. Remember the situation. As far as he was concerned, he was about to offer his son, his only son, Isaac. to God. Offer all that he had to God. And yet what does he say? I and the lad will go yonder and worship. See, worship involves commitment. It involves sacrifice. It involves giving. And I would point out that Abraham never expected to get from God when he went to worship. He went to give what he had. The first mention in the New Testament is in our portion here in verse 2. And it's interesting when we look at this word, it actually comes from a classical word meaning to act like a dog. In other words, adoring your master. You see, when we come in prayer, we come and we think of ourselves and our needs, don't we? When we come in thanksgiving, we think of our blessings. But when we come in worship, we think of him whom we adore and who is worthy. And so we find worship suggests worship of the triune God. When we come then, we see in this portion worship demonstrated. You see, as they came, we see the approach to worship, and it is the right attitude for worship. We find in verse 1 and 2 here that there must be a definite desire. I wonder if we have that when we come to the Lord's table. A definite desire to worship. The royal rulers here with the desire. It's interesting that we see a number of things here. First of all, we discover four times over in this passage, these men are called wise men. Worshiping is a wise thing. God puts a very high priority on it, doesn't he? And why are they wise? What was their desire? Well, we discover it was because of what they saw and understood. What they saw and they thought. First of all, you notice that they saw a star. It says in verse 2, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east." They saw a star. And of course, seeing the star, they thought that there was something specific and important about it. And indeed there was. It was a special star, wasn't it? And so they saw and they thought. They thought that it was something special. In fact, you'll notice that it says here in verse 2, we have seen his star. They knew there was something unique about this star. When we come to worship, I suggest to you that that is what we should be doing, isn't it? We should see and we should think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Our whole time should be taken up with Him as we worship Him. And then we discover that it was because of what they wanted and what they brought. You notice they wanted, it says there in verse 2, we have come to worship. They didn't come to see what they could get out of it. Some people go to meetings for that, don't they? You talk to them, well, why don't you come anymore? Oh, well, I wasn't getting anything out of it, you know. Well, the reason we come is not to get, but to give to Him. And, of course, what they brought brings us down to the gifts that they presented in verse 11. And we'll look at those in a moment if time allows. So what they wanted, they came to worship. And what they brought gifts. Now it's interesting that we discover also that it wasn't just sort of a, well, at the last minute we'll go ahead and do this. There was an effort involved, wasn't there? Because what do we find in verse 8? It says, go and search diligently. And indeed, that's what they did. There was an effort on the part of these wise men. There was preparation as they prepared for the journey. There was things they had to bring. They had to prepare the gifts that they brought. There was all sorts of things that they did in order to get ready. And then there was that terrific trip that they had to take. There was a lot of work involved. You know, beloved, as we come to worship Christ, there's an effort, isn't there? We need to come prepared to worship Him. And sometimes that means searching diligently. Studying the Scriptures through the week. Being prepared. Gleaning from them. So that when we come, we're prepared to give. And each of us have that responsibility, don't we? The men are to give audibly. And the women are to give silently. But they're still to give. And so each of us need to come prepared. And then we discover that these were wise men, the royalty with the desire, because of what they followed and what they sought. We've already noticed, and in verse 9 it mentions, as they left Herod, lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. Now, it's interesting, they didn't follow the star all the way. They never would have gotten in front of Herod, I guess. They made an assumption, didn't they? Assumptions are oftentimes terrible things. And we all do it. But they made an assumption and they said, well, if he's king of the Jews, he must be going to be born in Jerusalem. And so they headed off to Jerusalem. When they came out of Jerusalem, God in His grace showed them the star again and directed them to where the young child was. Now, I believe that star is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And when we come to worship, isn't that what's supposed to happen? The Spirit of God is to touch this heart and that heart and the other heart, and in the meantime, touch each of our hearts to bring out worship to the one who alone is worthy. And then what did they seek? They sought Him, the young child, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting as we read this, verse 11 says, "And when they came into the house, they saw Mary." Oh, it doesn't say that, does it? It says they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. You see, the young child was the important one. It was Christ who was the center of their attraction. It was He who they sought. And so it should be with us as we come to worship. Our desire should be on Him. It's interesting to contrast that, and I'll leave that to your own, but it's interesting to contrast with Herod's attitude. He was troubled. And then he went and he found out who it was. But of course, his desire was to kill Him, as we find out as we read further on down. And that's the picture of the world, isn't it? So the rulers with the desire. And then we see the reason for the desire in verse 2. They have seen His star. And the Spirit of God enlightened them on what that star meant. And then the reality of the desire. Verse 2 says, "We are come." Where is He? And you almost anticipate the excitement as they get there. "We've seen the star. We've come. Where is He?" Of course, the thing is, they went to the wrong place, didn't they? And so there must be a definite desire. But then there must be divine direction in verses 3 through 9. We discover that Herod went to the priests who knew the book. And it was from the prophets that they knew where this individual was to be born. Now it's intriguing to me that there didn't have to be a discussion as to who the king of the Jews was. They didn't have to discuss, well, who are these people really talking about? Right away they knew. Oh, that is the Mashiach, the Messiah. And He's to be born in Bethlehem. And so they immediately pointed them in that direction. And so we need to be obedient to the Word of God and to the Spirit's leading. And so this is the right attitude for worship. This is the approach to worship, is to have that desire and have the definite desire and the divine direction. But then we have the right attitude in worship, or the act of worship itself. In verse 11a, we find, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Here we have the fact that there must be direct devotion. You see, there was one person before them. And we've alluded to this already. One person before them. It was the child. This was the one. We see that in verse 11. We see it on in verse 13 and in verse 14 and in verse 20. And it's Christ. This is the one who is before them. There was one person before them. Is that what happens when we come to worship? That there's no one there but Christ? You remember Joseph? It's intriguing as we go back. I believe it's, what is it, chapter 45 of Genesis. Joseph desired to make himself known to his brethren. What did he do? He sent everybody else out of the room while he made himself known to his brethren. And what happened? When they left, then he said to his brethren, "I'm Joseph. Does my father still live?" And of course, they were taken back by this. And so then he comes at them again and he gives them a little bit more information. He says, "I'm Joseph, your brother." And so now you see the connection. We're related. And as we come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, we see him. We see who he is. And we are able to delight in him. This one who was the beloved of God and who should be our beloved as well. And so one person was before them. But then we discover there was one purpose before them, and that was to worship him. To worship him. You notice it's stated in verse 2, and it's stated again in verse 11. Verse 2, "We've come to worship him." Verse 11, "They fell down and worshiped him." This was their great desire. This was their attitude in worship, that he should be all in all, that they be taken up with him. And then we see one position before him. You notice what it says? It says they fell down. There was humility. They prostrated. These rulers of the royalty of the foreign land, they fell down before him. And they worshipped him. They were willing to humble themselves before God. And then there was one's presentation to him. They presented to him gold. Gold is that item that reminds us of divinity. It reminds us of his divine glory. You remember in the tabernacle? When we get inside, especially in the Holy of Holies, everything was gold. Speaking of God, we're reminded that the streets of heaven are like pure gold. And gold reminds us of the royalty of heaven, the divine glory. It reminds us of who this child was. This child was none other than God incarnate. Emmanuel, God with us. We often think of him as a man, a human being. But this human being was God incarnate. We have trouble understanding that, don't we? But it reminds us of his greatness, of his worth, the fact that he indeed was and is King. King of kings and Lord of lords. But then they presented to him frankincense. And frankincense is that incense that reminds us of his moral glory. If gold reminds us of his divine glory, this reminds us of his moral glory. And of course, it was what he became. He became a pure man. He became this one who lived a life that was spotless and sinless as he walked here. It reminds us of the fact that God opened up heaven on a number of different occasions and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, I just delight in this one." Do we? And so, it reminds us of his goodness, of his walk, and really, it reminds us that he is not only king, but he is priest. And then there's the myrrh. The myrrh, of course, was used to aid in regards to suffering. You remember they gave him vinegar mixed with myrrh, and he refused it. But it was to help to dull the senses. It was sort of a painkiller. And of course, it was also used in embalming someone. And so this reminds us of his redemptive glory. The fact that he came to die, to take your place and mine at Calvary. And so if the first gold reminds us of what he is, and the frankincense reminds us of what he became, this reminds us of what he did. What he did. It reminds us of his grace and his work. And really, this reminds us that he is not only king, not only priest, but he's prophet. MacArthur, in his book, writes this. He says, "Right worship is always and must be the only basis for right giving and right learning and right service. Giving that is generous, but done apart from a loving relationship with God, is empty giving. Learning that is orthodox and biblical, but is learned apart from knowing and depending on the source of truth, is empty knowledge, like that of the chief priests and scribes. Service that is demanding and sacrificial, but done in the power of the flesh or for the praise of men, is empty service." And so we find here that before these other things, giving, learning, and service, worship is important, isn't it? And so these fellows had the right attitude in worship. But then they had the right attitude after worship as well. And we discover that. And this is the action from worship. You notice verse 12 says, "And being warned of God." God's word was heard. Because of their worship, they were willing to listen to God's word. And so they got the warning. But also, God's word was heeded. Because when they were told to go home a different way, they did so. They obeyed. And so we have many lessons that we can learn here from the worship of the wise men. And the question comes, what do we learn? Well, we need to come, don't we? With the right attitude. A desire to worship. We need to come and to have the right attitude in worship. And realize that Christ is to be the center. And then we need to have the right attitude after worship as we go out the doors, is to serve Him, to live for Him, to have Him number one on our list, to demonstrate Him to those around us, to hear His word, and to obey. And of course, that also brings in, as we said, the idea of our giving. Everything that we have belongs to Him. When we see Him in worship, and we see who He is, and what He has done, and His perfect life, we get taken up with Him, then all our resources we're ready to give to Him. Our time, our energies, the things that we own, including our money, all these belong to Him. He's given them to us to use, but we need to use them for Him too, don't we? So I trust, as we've looked at the wise men here, and as you think of the wise men as we go through this season, I trust that each of us will be wise as well, ready to worship. Worship not only the King of the Jews, but the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. May it be so for His glory.